Okay, we're back for episode 90 of Powers and Principalities. How are you doing, Joe?
Just fine, Tim. It's good to be back in the States. Sorry, I missed last week's show. I was in an area that was out of modern communications, and so I just couldn't yell loud enough. And anyway, I'm back and ready to go.
Okay, well, all back. You're rested, I hope, or exhausted from the trip, but we'll try to work through it. Okay. Well, tonight we agreed to talk about the concept of racism, various hoaxes, the shakedowns, and sort of the fake outrage we're subjected to by the modern media these days. It's more than ever, really. And of course, racism. What exactly is racism? There's an urban legend that I heard a few years ago that racism itself was a concept, racist, developed by Leon Trotsky. And it turns out that isn't exactly correct. The concept actually predates that. The etymology of the word wasn't really originally supposed to be derogatory, just people who were concerned with the matters of race. But in the 20th century, particularly by the middle, throughout the middle part, late part of the 20th century, it became a derogatory term, an accusation, if you will, of someone, usually, who said they have malevolent intent towards another group, particularly a minority, because we often hear the term that racism can only be a white thing. You have to have power to have racist thoughts or beliefs or have to mean anything. And so, based on the current understanding of things, is that only white people have privilege and power, so only their racism matters. But if you're a poor, oppressed minority, official minority, official protected class, whether if you're black or, even if you're a woman, which is weird, even though they're majority, but they're still protected. But nonetheless, this concept of racism, I guess some people interpret it sort of as it's an attempt to more or less, I think, to marginalize the white majority, inflict it with more guilt, to be so it can be sort of manipulated and cornered, and perhaps eventually done away with. We hear it in terms about white genocide and these things. How there's a plan out there afoot to have white people kind of lose any sense of ethnic identity and, lower the birth rates. And then we're all familiar with this concept of the tanning of America. As America becomes more diverse, more colored people of color become Americans, and the European, people of European descent, their population dwindles. It portends a different America. So for the other side, race matters a lot. But for the side that's being accused of being racist, they can't really think about race, only to the extent that they feel guilty. So what are your thoughts on racism?
Well, the etymology is I think important for people to kind of understand. And as far as I know, as a negative psychological condition, it comes into the public vernacular through what's called sociology. The sociologists and sociologic understanding humans, which became a popular college course in the late 60s, they used the term racism. And, it was very negative. It was treated like a mental illness. But if you go back a step, you can see this is directly linked into the American Jewish Committee and the authoritarian personality, wherein the ethnic, scale was developed to determine, how negative you saw other ethnicities and how kind of positive and irrationally so you saw your own. Okay, so if you look at sort of the connection between the individuals in the American Jewish Committee's authoritarian personality and then the next iteration, sociology, which then gets into the colleges, it's pretty straightforward. It isn't really hard to understand. They had this idea that And of course, stepping back, you get to the Frankfurt School, and then you get into the idea of the culture of critique, right? I mean, everything about European culture was going to be critiqued, and negatively so. And the I think the premier sort of neurosis they were going to promote as real and needing to be done away with was this idea of a racial supremacy, right? The idea of racism being your race, the white race is better, and other races are inferior. And then of course, this is very interesting, Tim, because if you look at that, well, was there really a lot of ethnic promotion of Europe among European ethnicities prior to World War II? And if you kind of go back, there is some, but there's not a lot. It's kind of hard to get a grip on it. What you really have was the Aryan supremacy was promoted by the Freemason Theosophist Helen Blavatsky, right? So that's where you get the idea of Aryan supremacy. It really comes from her works. There's a smattering before this, but this is really how it enters into history, is through Blavatsky's The Secret Doctrine, and then this becomes, somehow caught up in Nazism. And then that then is the basis for, the American Jewish Committee's authoritarian personality, pseudo-psychological stuff, which then comes into our sociology classes like it's a fact, right? Like European people are objectifying and other races or ethnicities, and this is the basis of evil. They're evil. It was the basis of Hitler. And lurking somewhere in the heart of every European is their own private Hitler waiting to come out and express themselves. Thank God we have the army of sociologists and psychologists coming through the university system to put a quash to all that. So basically, as I see it, it's just a pretty crude and obvious mind control operation. There is racism, but it's really not in the group that's being attacked. It's from on the other side of the coin, right? This is where what is racism. If you look at the American Jewish Committee's Authoritarian Personality Pseudoscience, which is online, anyone can read, right? Go to chapter 23 and you look at the conclusion where they talk about. This is what's so amazing to me. They go, look, we're going to organize all of the psychological sciences. This is what they say, right? We're going to organize them all. And we're going to basically attack European ethnicity. They don't say this, but it's the point of the whole paragraph, but what they're going to do. And they say, and we're going to use Eros, sex, drugs, and rock and roll to get at them, right? To kind of break apart the things which construct their ethnicity, right? And it's an ethnic thing because they got the ethnic scale just a few chapters before. You can just go there and read it. You can just see it's absurd and it's pseudoscience and it's just an attack. So the thing is, with racism is basically, as I see it, it's just was created as a negative characteristic, a negative personality characteristic of Europeans. The justification for this assertion is it was Nazism. That's what the basic justification is. Then in back of that, once they got into the critique, then they got into slavery, right? It's like, well, you Europeans, you enslave, you buy and sell slaves, and also you to time to time create racial leaders and try to kill Jews and conquer the world. This is the way that history has been laid out, and racism is a critical component of this narrative. But it's completely untrue. We've gone through the creation of the Nazi Party, and whether or not someone agrees with the analytic approach that you and I have discussed here or not, you can see that it's not something that's organic to the German people, right? It's something that's being developed primarily through elite Freemason circles that are operation in against and in opposition to the European historically, right? Mm-hmm. So this is what they've had to put up with is the European gets attacked and then is told that if he defends himself, if they defend themselves against this idea of being racist, that they are racist, are crazy, are there something wrong with them? So it's just racism is an important thing to understand as a tool, right? As it's been used, and I think that's why shows like ours and 100 others that are trying to get at a better historical narrative, like a more real one. One of the things that comes up over and over again is that the history of racism is fake. And I've been looking, I don't know if you've ever looked at this, but I've been looking recently at like what was the slave trade about? Who was actually promoting it? I'm having a hard time finding many individuals who weren't Freemasons or belonging to Masonic organizations are Jewish.
Yes.
I'm not finding a lot of European guys involved in the slave trade. I'm trying. I'm going to do more research, and I'm open. People who have information about that, please send me it to me, because I don't want to make this claim without evidence. But as I've spent a couple weeks looking at this, Tim, man, I can't find anybody who isn't a Mason or a Jew that involved in the slave trade. So it doesn't look to me like this is really something you want to hurl against the European. You really want to, be more careful about, who actually developed this thing.
Yeah, the vast majority of Europeans, even Americans of European stock, were actually harmed by the institution of slavery because it was an attempt by the elite to bring in cheap labor, because it was very hard to pay. You had to pay Americans a lot more because of the abundant availability of land and these things. So they brought in cheap labor to do their work without any consequences. I really thought of the consequences for the future, bringing in this servile slave class. It would be a problem. And even they wrote about it at the time. But like today, as today's corporations want to bring in cheap labor from the third world, with any thought of the consequences for the community, or for the nation in general, the native population, they brought in this cheap labor, and it was to exploit the cheap labor. But the point is that the vast majority of people of European stock in America weren't guilty of practicing slavery, of owning slaves, nor did they benefit from it, because it kept wages low.
Yeah. Well, look at the Star Spangled Banner. This is a really great place for people to begin their search mm-hmm. for truth about racism. And you've got the Francis Scott Keys. I'm jet lagged like crazy, but so he's like a huge Mason. Mm-hmm. He actually has in the second stanza the expression "In God We Trust," which is just a Masonic, byline. But he identifies who he is opposed to, and it's the indentured workers and slaves, right?
Yes, yeah.
But who are the indentured workers? Well, yes. Wait a second. These are the Irish. Right. So now you've got the configuration is really clear there. You've got, Europeans, right, particularly low economic status Europeans mm-hmm. and blacks on one side, and you have a Masonic monster on the other. That's the real structure. And so then later, the side that produces the Star Spangled Banner and is so happy to, have blown up everybody. They talk about, the sociology of racism, and then they accuse, Europeans. It's really like, the idea of Aryan supremacy that comes from the Masonic Blavatsky through the puppet Hitler into the, the vernacular of history. But it's just, it's an obvious just... a cover for what's about to happen to the Germans, right? Mm-hmm. So I really think racism is an important thing, Tim. I think it's lately it's just been with Trump now, the racist white male.
Yeah,
it's everywhere in the media. We'll talk about some examples and how they the shakedown basically of how race is used. It isn't something that really emanated from Europeans. It's only something that is used to attack European with, and I hope if there are particularly black intellectuals listening to this show, man, I would love to interact with you guys. I get occasional communications from this group. But I would love to interact with you guys on this to create a little bit clearer history that could go out to African Americans, to use an expression, because I think they suffer as badly as European males do from the use of this term. They are being deliberately led into confusion, right? To a bad understanding of history that enables them to be, continued to be enslaved, and also to resist against the wrong group. They're not really understanding their world well enough to rebel efficiently. So anyway, that's my hope, is that our discussion and all the others that are going on now about race will help create some interest in going back and looking at the history of how the word was developed, who developed the word, what was the purpose of the word, how race itself was basically not something that was aggressively applied by Europeans to blacks or anyone else. Like race doesn't really appear. The word doesn't really appear, for example, in the Bible. But you get racism, like if you look at Deuteronomy 20, 16, I think it is, where you talk about slaughtering all these different ethnicities, right? This is the Hebrew God telling the Jews that it's okay, and he lists a group of ethnicities, the Jebusites and the Canaanites, right? Or well, some of the ethnicities are a little kind of lost to history, but the Canaanites, very well-known ethnic group, and it says wipe them out. And so this is very troubling, because you get a lot of Jewish sociologists who attack Europeans as racist. But man, how many of them have you ever heard, Tim, talk about the racism and the promotion of genocide in Deuteronomy?
Oh yeah, or much less criticize Israel's
Yeah,
policy now.
our Israel book. Well, yeah, Shay. So anyway, so this is what I'm thinking, is that the current situation where race is, it's just everywhere in the news. Trump is a racist. I mean, we talked the other day, last time, about the kid with the MAGA hat. The Indian came up. This whole racial explosion situation. Well, the media presents all of this in an incorrect light. It doesn't look at the actual historical reality of the word and of the idea of white male racism. It just continues to promote the attack, right, on Europeans and the breakdown of their ethnicity, using this what is an obvious sociologic weaponized structure,
And
right?
it seems to be only aimed at Europeans, or
Well, as far
European
as I
white Europeans,
saw.
right?
Well, when was the last time anybody, criticized in our press the racism in Israel against the Palestinians?
Or the fact that Japan itself has a policy of strict immigration to maintain, J Japan is for Japanese. And Chinese are very particular about their ethnicity, and other countries are, but it's only directed at European countries, including the United States, because it's anti, well, for you, because it, for some reason or for various reasons, European civilization is being targeted, and European ethnicities are being targeted. And that, I mean, that was laid out by in the early 20th century with the Kudinov-Kalergi plan, and we see it being implemented today, bringing in flooding these countries with immigrants or migrants or so-called refugees from North Africa or the Middle East, and actually being promoted by the host governments against the interest of the people. Even in what's going on in Ireland now, where they plan to they've adopted a policy of abort and import. So
Exactly.
you'll abort your native population and you import people from North Africa. Of all places, why would you bring people from North Africa, at least to Ireland? And but just NGOs and agencies are doing this. At the same time, they're promoting a worldview or ideology or outlook, you know, this globalist outlook that has, you know, apparently captured so much of the of Ireland's hearts and minds of Irish people that they themselves have internalized, you know, the commands of their oppressors and are in the process of destroying themselves as they embrace neoliberalism, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have the Irish people recognize that the same people who are, you know, have implemented the abort and import, you know, policy, created the Irish potato Holocaust famine. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's the same exact group. It's just their descendants. I mean, they need to recognize, and this is, it's a tough thing, and it's kept, one of the things that keeps people from seeing these obvious trends, is they don't recognize they're being genocided.
Mm-hmm.
Deliberate genocide. It's like you say, the Kalargi plan. Well, there it is in black and white. People can read that and recognize today's social structure as the implementation. It's absolutely transparent.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing really. I mean, how could anyone deny that, right? If you just look at the immigration policy and the negative self-image that is being, you know, given to all European ethnicities, that to permit, you know, and to be, to bully them into accepting this immigration, you know, it's pretty straightforward. I don't think anyone could be confused about it. It's just they're intimidated. They are intimidated to think. They can't even think that, you know, well, gee, this could actually be organized in a way against us.
Well, the whole idea that some of the European civilization, European countries, like America or, you know, or France or Britain or Germany, or somebody uniquely guilty of great crimes based on race is ridiculous. I mean, obviously, you know, bad things occur in history, but they're not, you know, obviously Europe isn't exclusively guilty of them. Just the Europeans happened to develop a technology, you know, they industrialized and, you know, they were able to go out, explore, colonize, and control large sections of the world for a couple centuries. And this is based on their technological superiority and their higher states of development and also material achievement and also philosophical achievement, artistic achievement. And there's nothing wrong with identifying Western civilizations being particularly unique, whether it's polyphonic music or architecture or technology. It doesn't mean European civilization is perfect. And obviously, I tend to think it's sort of, it struck a Faustian bargain with technology and it has its own demons to cope with. But I mean, come on, let's be honest. Is there something redeeming about Aztec culture, you know, or, you know, the cannibalism of the African, of the Dark Continent, or
is there something really racist about Europeans? You know? Yeah
uniquely. No, I mean, what if the Aztecs were able to sail across the Atlantic Ocean and colonize Spain? What would we have seen? Some interesting things occurring in Spain. Far more brutal than what Cortez did. And the reason why Cortez was able to conquer, what would become known as Mexico, is because the Aztecs were so brutal. He had willing allies in his endeavor. You know,
well, it's interesting that in that ethnicity is by definition racially, or it sequesters itself. Mm-hmm. You can't develop a language and a recognizable morphology unless you are somehow sequestered from other groups.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. So the force that kind of, you know, produces this tribalism is that basically just part of human evolution. There's nothing either good or bad about it. It's just absolutely necessary. The forced integration, to break it apart has to be understood as basically the people need to understand the reason for the forced integration, right? This is a thing, because then they think they'll have a clear idea about, well, we've got to look at what racism is a little bit, because it seems to be weaponized here, you know. The reason for the forced integration is to break apart first the ethnicity and then the family. And the whole purpose of this is that the state wants to take control of the education of children.
Yeah.
I mean, if the state can basically control the all of the educational aspects of a child, particularly if they at the same time controlling diet and vaccines, well, you know, they're not going to have much in the way of rebellion to worry about. I mean, this was all laid out by Huxley and mm-hmm. Brave World. People who are curious about, you know, well, what is the plan? Huxley is very clear about it. You know, he's after the fact. He is like describing kind of the social intrigues that go on after the oligarchs' structure of society has been completed, and you've got a controlling group with brain power and deltas and epsilons who don't have the brains to do anything other than take drugs and have sex.
That's a good point, because the if using integration or homogenization, integration, racial harmony as an excuse to break apart ethnic communities, it is through the ethnic community that one has identity. And you simply couldn't, much of what we see about the current white guilt, this pathological guilt we see people feel or they're told to feel, simply would have been possible if people lived, had ethnic identity, because they'd have their own traditions and their own identity, and they'd be like, you know, you couldn't have this sort of this vague accusation, you know, I'm not white, I'm Irish, you know, I'm Polish, what are you talking about? And so this effort, yeah, it was used to, as we've talked about before, obviously, under the guise of integration and these things, blacks were brought into some of these ethnic neighborhoods who were then chased into suburbia, and these things, they became white Americans. And it was in that environment that you could promote things like the sexual revolution and Hollywood and mass marketing. And it's the attempt to break down all differences. So you level the field so you can market ideas, goods, whatever. And part of those ideas is the worldview, is this globalist vision of the world, you know, where everything is, everyone's been mixed together. And that goes back to that Killary plan. And with that, ironically, is again, with that diversity, you have global homogeneity, you know, and you have the complete opposite.
Diversity, right. This is just a battering ram word to basically create the homogenous slave state.
And you can socially engineer society better, because they're forced, children are then institutionalized effectively. They're warehoused in schools, which are just social engineering, you know, operations.
Racism awareness centers.
Yeah, and they get fully indoctrinated in these things. And, you know, little thing, you know, there's been things like, you know, the imposition of the holiday for Martin Luther King, these things. And this thing, despite the fact, you know, he's the only figure in American history that has a holiday. And it's one of these things where, why was this, used to be controversial, and now it's no longer, it used to be acceptable opinion to say, he doesn't deserve a holiday. We can agree or disagree with what he advocated, even, or pick out some of the good things he said and admire that, but it doesn't need a holiday. Now, if you say that, you're a racist. Or I remember back in the early 80s, it was considered polite or acceptable opinion not to support it. It was Ronald Reagan himself campaigned against it, because he was a divisive figure. The hagiography we get after his assassination, but he was a divisive figure and a very flawed figure. And, you know, but all that's there to impose more white guilt on the country.
100%. Yeah. You know, the thing is, you made a really important point, and I hadn't actually got it clear until you made it, but you're right. One of the reasons why they are part of the process, but one of the reasons certainly that they broke apart the ethnic neighborhoods in the 50s in the United States was because you couldn't really attack like Poles or Lithuanians or German, you know, these kind of communities on the grounds of racism.
Because Germans and Poles and Lithuanians weren't really prominent in the slave trade.
right. But once they became white, you see my point is, you actually, it's your point, and you clarified, mm-hmm. and made it, when you said it, a light bulb went off in my head. You're absolutely right. Once they created the great, you know, kind of sprawling white, you know, class, then they could really bring in the sociologists to attack racism and white privilege, right? Because if they'd kept the ethnic communities, it would have been just flat out impossible.
Yeah. And this isn't to say that, again, another thing is that European civilization doesn't say that European civilization had something to offer the world in terms of development and science and even medicine and education. They really could bring some, dare I say, enlightenment to the to some of these, benighted civilizations. That, and there's nothing wrong with genuine evangelization or genuine mission work. That there's, it can be manipulated as it has been, but we have talked about in the past examples of some of the efforts of the Jesuits in the New World, particularly in South America with the Guaranis, where they actually gave them a written language and taught them rudimentary manufacturing and agriculture, and that effort was actually suppressed because the money interests at the time wanted the economic hitman model of slavery. So there was a different path too. So see different opportunities in Western civilization to go a different path. But the British Empire wanted slavery at that time.
The Masons, this secret society that took over the political, power and structure in Britain and in the other European countries, and they wanted slavery because they wanted to develop economic control over the world and also technology, basically for further enslavement. But it's I just think that the this vast middle class, is in and of itself just a, has been developed to basically attack. That's why they did it. And it becomes clear the use of the term or the understanding of the term racism helps people see, how it isn't really race that is at issue. It's the secret society. And you're giving examples about kind of the benefit of European colonialization, or not necessarily colonialization, but just interaction with
Yeah,
Europeans.
influence, yeah.
Yeah, influence. And what I look at, I go further back. I mean, to me, it's the Athenian model of democracy and beauty, right? And of enlightened self-interest, individual, right? As opposed to the Ten Commandments. I mean, I know the Ten Commandments, some people see this as a really good thing, but you can see how it's an authoritarian top-down structure. The Athenian model, I think, is more kind of distinctly European, with democracy and beauty, arts, those kind of things. And I think that's also a big part of life, but it isn't the kind of activities that the oligarchs want individuals to engage in. So they flip to a more, top-down a structure of both religion and politics.
Yeah, the now, I mean, obviously, this racism itself, the race, it's an industry now. The civil rights establishment and the race industry, the hoaxes, the shakedowns that we're all familiar with. Because once they've established white guilt, what it does is it. Well, one thing, it prevents the white majority from being able to articulate any meaningful defense, or even it demoralizes them because there's no longer any feeling that their culture has anything to defend or to promote or even expand. But it becomes very defensive, and we see this in sort of the iconoclasm that's going on recently, particularly in the South with the Confederate statue destroying history. I mean, these things. We had there's a move out in Europe, out in Orange County, not too far from where you are, where they're trying to take down the statue there of John Wayne at the John Wayne Airport. And so this, this iconic figure, movie actor, so what? But he was a great figure of the 20th century in his movie, cowboy movies. It's part of this, the America's manifest destiny in these things. And of course, this was appropriate when Orange County was 85% white, which it was in 1970. Now it's 49% white. And now there's a move to take down a statue, and so this. All these icons of American culture are being destroyed. And the point being here that it isn't as if race and ethnicity doesn't matter here. Obviously, it does matter because now we're seeing the sort of the political ramifications of these things. And you have a host white culture, which is demoralized, defensive, hates itself, and feels guilty. And that's a recipe for genocide, for eradication, because you don't want to have children anymore. And this is being imposed upon them by this cult of guilt. the sort of a selective reading of history, giving the United States or Europe in general the white glove test, and excusing all the horrible crimes of the non-Western world, which no one seems apparently the Western values only apply to the West, but you don't apply those standards to, say, Mesoamerican culture with the Aztecs, or what's still going on in the Arab world in Africa with the slave trade, the brutality, Asiatic brutality in these things, but the, this is what you get. And of course we've had a few hoaxes, right? Recently exploiting the narrative of white racism, lynching of all things, this Jesse Smollett case. This is just all these, by the way, Jesse Smollett, the moment the story broke, I read about it. I said, this is a fake. This is ridiculous. And as all these stories are, there's always hoaxes. Yeah. Yet the media immediately runs with the story with no investigation. There's no alleged here. Most of them meant there's the attack. It was presumed it occurred, but it was pretty, within a couple of days, it was pretty obvious, just anyone with critical thinking, that this thing was fake. But nevertheless, they run with it and the narrative's created.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the MAGA hat kid. Mm-hmm. It's basically, it's different. I mean, in the sense that the media takes these things and characterizes them in ways for propaganda purposes, which is all just designed to enforce the idea of white guilt, right? That's, as you say, that's why these stories are important. That's why that story. And the actor from that show Empire, was he created that this fake idea about, I guess racial brutality. I missed the whole thing because I was gone during it. I didn't get a chance to. I noticed it briefly and kind of was amused at it. But I had the same sense you did, because I'm very skeptical in general, but particularly stories like this that are. So specific to the plan against Europeans, right? I thought, well, I can't believe this without some scrutiny. Then when I got back, it was already dead because people, they'd already exposed it as a, and I just wanted to throw in one little bonbon. This is something that maybe listeners can follow up on, because I got a piece of information in a lecture once by a guy I really like, Anton Chaykin. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's the LaRouche scholar, good researcher,
That's right. LaRouche just passed away. You probably should do a show on him one of these.
Yeah, we should, actually. because he's kind of a crackpot, but man, oh man,
Well, some of his stuff was really good, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of his stuff is incredible. He actually, I think, is one of the really seminal guys in terms of opening up alternative history. A lot of stuff you don't necessarily agree with, but he opened up the idea of, like, hey, the whole historical narrative is propaganda. Mm-hmm. Here, or truths we got to get at. Well, anyway, he had, he has the scholar or worked with the scholar Anton Chaykin, and I was listening to a lecture, and he pointed out something that just absolutely froze me in place. I was just stunned by this. I had no idea it was true, and I haven't actually done the research to verify it, but I just find Anton to be very credible, and so I know I'm positive that it is correct. Anyway, so the authoritarian personality group actually met in Europe, in Britain, to kind of develop the authoritarian personality. This is before Weiss brought them to the United States, with the funding from the American Jewish Committee. But they're actually, the Frankfurt School was already, they were a known entity. Mm-hmm. And the group of them had come to Britain. And so they met, and this was where they developed it, the idea of, like, white guilt, which was then going to – they were going to kind of create the pseudoscience. Well, guess where the meeting was? This is the funny part. It was in Montague Norman's home. I mean, this I think, is like, literally one of these fingerprints of the oligarchs that is, like, impossible to overlook or misunderstand. The same guy that was arranging the funding with Brown Harriman for, the German war machine that they were used to commit racial suicide with, that his house was where the group met. So, you can see that this plan, the physical and psychological genocide, because, they have, like, the Battle of the Somme, where Haig puts 60,000 British people to death in an afternoon, right? Orders of right. Okay, so you have the physical genocide that's going on all the time, but there is a psychological genocide, right? There is a psychological genocide, and racism to me is like the premier weapon.
Oh, the
It's
Germans are our best example of that. They've been so psychologically decapitated. Just
yeah.
because whenever if a German ever voices any concern about his ethnicity being wiped out, he's accused of being a Nazi,
Absolutely.
because of the World War II narrative. So it's one thing. It's just with of course with Jesse Smollett. Apparently, he's black, homosexual, and Jewish. So with him, you had a trifecta, right? So
He's just the man for the age, man. I mean,
but this whole the it's interesting that apparently he's either an associate or friend with Senator Kamala Harris, the woman who apparently slept her way into the U.S. Senate,
yeah.
which no one ever talks about that. She's getting all these sinecures and appointments by her sponsor, Mr. Brown. She was submitted. I think she was at the time going to submit. It coincides a federal anti-lynching law, as if we need a law against it. There's already laws against it. It's called, laws against kidnapping and murder, of course, or assault. But I guess of course, I think the last time that we had a lynching was 38 years ago in Alabama, when a white man murdered a black man, and the man was arrested, tried, convicted, and put to death for it. So the state of Alabama pretty much did all you can do with a situation like that. So why propose a federal law? Well, again, this is sort of creating another libel. What they're doing, really, they're saying by submitting the law, you're suggesting this is indeed a problem. And so again, you're creating the narrative of this violent right white racism, despite the fact there's no problem. I mean, nothing, no def no. Real problem. I mean, obviously, it's a problem someone does this, and the laws are on the books to deal with it at the local level. You don't need federal laws for this anyway.
Wait, Tim, there's a law against lynching? You're kidding. There's a law. Well, why would they need another one? How many laws do you need?
It's really, really illegal.
It's not only illegal, but it's bad, and it's valuable for my political career to like remind people about how bad lynching is. It's just that kind of stuff is like propaganda at such a crude level. I just can't even think it's effective to like the people who would vote for her.
Imagine voting against it. You vote against you. You're for lynching?
Yeah,
Well,
I
no,
know.
I don't. There's a state law again. These are state matters anyway. And then there's no evidence that the states aren't, forcefully, enforcing these laws.
Well, there
But
aren't, I mean, how many lynchings are there? What are we really talking about the last 10 years? I
yeah,
mean, has
none. And I guess what is a lynching? Want me to bring up the crime statistics? And is there a specific problem with black crime? So has someone submitted a law, a bill, and about a federal law to address the particular problem of black crime, practically black male black crime?
Well, how about, I mean, it's
I mean, I can show you the
like
stats.
carjacking. I mean, there's some like whites, I guess, that carjack, but isn't it pretty much? I mean, I don't. I have to see this, but it's got to be like 95 plus. It's a black crime, right? Or gangs, maybe some Latinos engage in it. Lord, but okay. Well, if you made, let's make this a special hate crime, against car owners. And I mean, this is just absurd political posturing. But in this case, because racism has become the tool to dismantle to create the psychological genocide of Europeans is permitted. It's sort of like this Jesse, and how do you pronounce the guy's last name? Smollett.
Smollett, Smollett.
Smollett. It's an such an absurdity. Like any investigative reporter should have sniffed out that this doesn't have the ring of reality, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an intrepid reporter. I knew
Yeah,
it.
I
Just by
did.
reading the headline, I could, wait a second, it just doesn't look right.
I just when I saw it like as an internet thing when I was like in this one place between different places I was traveling, and I didn't have access to the internet, which is kind of an interesting thing for like in 17 days. I think I had internet access 2 days, And so I just got this little snippet, and I immediately cracked up. And I mean, I don't mean to denigrate, the act as it was characterized, but I was very, very cynical. I go, nah, I just don't think this is real. This looks like propaganda agitation to me. And then by the time I got back in, it already collapsed. The story had already.
And by the way, the police are sitting there verting, overtime man hours to finding, supposedly, viewing videotape in these things and trying to find out who the perpetrators were and bring them to justice and all this time. In the meantime, I think, Chicago reports like 6,000 assaults a year. They're anywhere between 500, 600, I think like 500 shooting deaths a year occur in Chicago. Vast majority of victims of whom are black. And and that doesn't seem to get too much concern, the media. But this, of course, I guess a B grade actor or maybe C grade actor. I didn't know who he was until the incident occurred. I don't watch the show Empire on Fox, but I'm saying it's again, it shows how ludicrous the media is. How the media is there to sort of entertain and confuse and bamboozle you. It's not there to inform you to have any idea what's going on. But in the meantime, you have like CNN reporters saying this is America in 2019. As if there's a problem of whites out there committing, lynching and assaulting blacks. When in reality, at least every day, it's the other way around. Actually, with the black crime in these things, it's if you look at the color of crime reports that's produced every year, it's very disturbing numbers. That isn't to say there aren't other issues. There are other problems with we've talked about incarceration rates and the drug war targets blacks. How they can be thrown into prison and fill the prison ranks. And so we talked about how blacks have been targeted with social engineering and psychological warfare, tearing apart the black family, the sort of the denigration and promotion of rap culture and these things. And that isn't to say that that the community itself should think of itself as being somewhat responsible, for these.
The more they have the cult of victim, the longer it's going to take them to reverse course. And you wonder now, with the complete shattering of the family, if they're ever going to be able to.
Well, they can't. I mean, that's another gets another. This gets another question, just a practical political question about. It's kind of funny because I was reading this article about John Wayne, and he gave an interview back in the 1971, and it happened that someone dug up some of these quotes from the early 70s of John Wayne and using it now for I guess to take a stash on, because now what his remarks then are now considered racist. But they asked him about white and black relations. This is the 1971 Playboy interview, and apparently his quote was, "I believe in white supremacy until the blacks are educated to a point of responsibility. I don't believe in giving authority and positions of leadership and judgment to irresponsible people." Now, that's a harsh statement, but it isn't completely unfounded, because when you have 80% illegitimacy and these out-of-control crime rates among the black, particularly black men with the crime and all that, and if you look... If you look at politicians who represent people of color, whether it's Hispanics or blacks, I'm not impressed with the caliber of politicians. I'm not that really impressed with the caliber of white politicians anyway. But I'm saying is that the politics that comes from ethnic politics in America as it becomes, less white, it doesn't fill me with confidence in their ability to responsibly, lead the country, represent the people. Because it's more corrupt than ever.
They can't, because, first of all, they don't understand the real target, which is the deliberate destruction of the black culture. In other words, the question that black politicians have to answer and have to bring to their constituencies is very simple. There's only really one real question. Mm-hmm. Is that why did all the demographic trends that had been going positive since the Civil War turn negative in the mid-60s?
Yeah, what happened?
What happened? If you can't either ask that question honestly, or let alone have it, you have to also have an answer for it. Otherwise, why run for office? But at this point, actually, I just take someone who can actually ask the question, even if he doesn't know or she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. But if you can't ask that question of your constituency, you're just part of the problem that's taking them off a cliff. Mm-hmm. You have to ask that question. And so they get political leaders like Martin Luther King.
Or Jesse Jackson.
Or Jesse Jackson.
Al Sharpton, for that matter.
Yeah, you just get the Masons, the Prince Hall, you know, oath-taking Masonic slaves to the secret society, who are happy to take a few bucks and have an individually, you know, cushy life. What is the cost is they're just taking their people right off a cliff culturally.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the question that they should always ask is, what happened? How did it come to pass that with every single demographic statistic of you know, like, of how to measure, you know, a successful culture going in the right direction, how did it all turn around 100% in the mid-60s? If you can answer that question honestly, then you can be a real politician, you know, in the black communities. And if you can't, you're just part of the problem.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, you look at whether it's Detroit or even Selma, all the cities that are run by Democrat, or, you know, black Democratic machines, they're all collapsed. They're all bankrupt.
Of course,
you know.
because it is the goal of the secret society to absolutely shatter and atomize the black culture. Basically, what they're doing is they're creating the Delta class and Epsilon class. So they're going to shatter. They create false ethnic historical narratives for them, just like they do for Europeans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, about like, well, who is actually responsible for all this? And then they destroy the family. And what's left is the state, right? Who controls the state? The state can now come in, and I'm sure you're going to eventually see all of these, you know, federal projects that they'll start using chemicals to create the behavior that they want in these people. And that'll probably be, you know, as I would see it, that would be the deltas, and then the epsilons are the autistics, right? So these are your growth, you know, industries for America's future is services for those two communities, because that's where you're going to have the population growth.
Here in Virginia, we had a scandal with Governor Ralph Northam.
Oh yeah, can you tell? I mean, I'm quite intriguing. Give us a lowdown on.
Well, you know, back in 1984, 35 years ago, apparently a photograph was taken of him either in wearing blackface or a Ku Klux Klan costume. Emphasis the word costume. I guess a costume party at his college or med school. He was in his early 20s. And there it was, you know, for 35 years. And then, lo and behold, he goes on radio one weekend and endorses infanticide. Next day, the story breaks about him wearing blackface. You know, but the irony is the controversy isn't him, the governor of Virginia, endorsing infanticide. He's asked to resign because he either wore blackface or wore a Ku Klux Klan costume. Now, you know, this shows you the priorities, I guess, of the Democratic Party or America in the 21st century, the media. This gets more coverage than him talking about killing babies, you know, legally killing babies, making it legal. But he doesn't resign. He hasn't resigned, and he's asked, told to resign. And apparently the lieutenant governor says he probably should step down. He's got Herring as our lieutenant governor. Turns out he admits to wearing blackface. Apparently he went to a Halloween party, you know, as a rap group, and thought it'd be funny. And then they say, "Oh, we're sorry," and of course this fake outrage. No one really cares. No one's really offended by it. This is ridiculous.
Didn't the lieutenant governor make a statement about how it had bothered him his whole life?
No, the attorney general.
Said
this is apparently he's been haunted by his entire life since then.
Yeah,
it simply isn't true. No one believes that.
Of course not. But you see, I was fascinated by the statement because that's actually the propaganda is inside him and talking now.
Yeah.
It's animated. I mean, his mind has actually been so controlled that he is speaking completely untrue statements to individuals who have an untrue understanding of history, because that is how successful the intimidation is. Everything is fake. His mind is fake. He was not tortured because he had, like, portrayed a rap individual in his 20s. And of course, the people who are listening to him they could give a flip about someone
They don't
because,
care.
are you kidding me? How many white guys, kind of mimicked rap?
Yeah.
It's like, well, everybody did, of course.
I mean, you can see the irony of some white kid mimicking a black, and I don't think people are offended. I just don't think people are genuinely offended by it. It's all fake. It's a shakedown,
It's a shakedown,
and you
exactly.
have Governor Northam saying that he's going to spend the rest of his administration atoning for this. I guess with taxpayers' dollars, I guess, right? How are you going to atone for this? No one care. You didn't harm anybody. Did you shoot someone in the South Side of Chicago? No. Did you lynch somebody? No. Did you fake lynching and waste hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars in taxpayer resources investigating a crime that didn't occur? No. I mean, it's like, did you carjack somebody? No. It's ridiculous, and it's all fake. It's just, yeah, Jordan.
That's right. It's just so the intimidation has been, completely successful in
Oh
this
yeah, but
regard.
meantime, the lieutenant governor of Fairfax has been credibly charged with sexual assault and rape, and he's not asked to resign. It's very, and,
Yeah, I mean that.
and he's
What was
black, by
it?
the way. He's black.
Yeah, as long as it was a white woman, I don't think there'll be any outrage about that. It's well, of course, that's not true. The feminists will speak up, and of course, it's a heinous if it's true. I mean,
Yeah.
But it's just this is why we do our show. I mean, the this is the anti kind of being tortured. That statement, that force of propaganda is, from this intimidation, creating a fake mind and talking to people that really aren't real and don't even have this understanding. The whole thing is fake. On the other side, we're trying to like actually talk real stuff here, right? Where you look at that and you don't take it seriously. You take it as a sociologic conditioned structure, that needs to be decoded so you can think clearly and not you don't hate the guy for lying about being tortured because he thought he was doing something wrong as a portraying rap singer. What he's trying to do is just understand the whole structure that contains the and then you aren't in an unreal world. You know what I mean? It's like that you can think clearly and go, okay, well, he's just a creature of the conditioning, and we don't let these ideas have any influence over us. We just recognize him as a brave new world creature and try to move on and think clearly about the rest of our day.
In the meantime, they can say the worst things, about white people. I mean, there's that case of Sarah Zhang, who was hired by the New York Times for write about technology, and she because on her Twitter account she's all types of tweets. One was, "Oh man, it's kind of sick how much joy I get out of being cruel to old white men. Dumb, dumbass, effing white people marking up the internet with their opinions like dogs pissing on a fire hydrants. Cancel white people." This is her tweets. "White people have stopped breeding. You'll go extinct soon. That was my plan all along." Guess she's probably. I think she's probably, making fun of people who, think that that's a plan. That's how I re read that, But so she's these, there's all these tweets, and of course, if someone were saying things like "cancel black people," or "dumbass black people," or "these black people smell," what would we think the New York Times would do with her?
Well, it wouldn't be the New York Times. It'd be the hate crime, attorney general. I mean, she'd be in prison.
Yeah. So, I mean, they don't fire her over that. Maybe she sh I don't. Maybe she shouldn't be. I'm not a big advocate of that. But I'm saying, turnabout's fair play, right? But again, they can say these things, and which this, this is like, I think she's like originally Korean. She emigrated here, and she has that much contempt for the society that took her in. I mean, it's that's another thing you get is. People, they claim that, European or white civilization is just so evil, but they keep wanting to come to the countries that have been
Well,
developed.
this is the dichotomy. You have the famous narrative that they learn in sociology class about whites. That's that's the propaganda narrative. That's the weaponized anthropology. But then there's the reality is that everywhere we are, people want to come and live with us
Yeah.
because we're so great to live with. We're just this really loving, kind of open, smart group of people that are really, very nonviolent. It's just they don't teach in sociology class the political control of the Masons and elite Jewish banking families that actually creates these policies, right, that create this, that then are used as a narrative, like Hitler, you know, like, oh, gee, look, there is the European male being bad again, you know, with this, he's got his swastika on and he's goose-stepping about. And so they don't look at the actual structure of how that individual came into history and the small group that actually organizes and orchestrates all this.
Yeah.
But the dichotomy is that someone like that can make these statements. But like you say, she moved here to be among us because what you want to move back to Korea?
Yeah.
You know? Try that. You know, I mean, actually, Korea's not, South Korea is not a bad place.
No. So why?
I mean, the thing is that I don't see a lot of Europeans clamoring to get in, whereas there are tons of Koreans wanting to, you know, live among us. So the reality speaks for itself. You know, the propaganda is nonsense. And in fact, we're very good people.
Yeah. And, you know, America's a different story because of how America is. I mean, obviously, it's, Europeans came here and they settled it and these things. But it is a transplant of European civilization developed along American lines with an American accent, if you will. And so it is uniquely European in that sense. And this is how it works is I think American civilization can tolerate and take in a certain percentage of non-Western people as long as they remain a significant minority. At the same time, there's a supermajority that has the confidence and belief in itself that it has some, that it's worthwhile to propagate and maintain. But, you know, it's a different if you have like, you know, 5%, you know, if America has 2% Muslims and these things, but it would be different if there's 40% Muslim, right? It's not going to be American even, and the politics is going to change. Same thing if that were to occur in France. You know, France wouldn't be France if they're no longer French people there, you know. And it's one of these things where I've cited this before, where the changing demographics portends a different politics of the country. Well, if that is indeed true, then those people who don't like the new politics that it pretends will have to start thinking in ethnic and racial terms to reverse the demographics, if that is indeed critical. And the other side says it is that the demographics are, you know, or demography is destiny. If that's true, and I believe it is largely true, then efforts have to be made to raise consciousness among the ethnic whites to start having more children and start believing in their history and their culture, and so then their numbers will grow and they can defend their culture.
Yeah, of course. Recognize that all of this that the historical narrative that they are supposed to feel guilty about is complete nonsense. It's rubbish. It was created as weaponized anthropology, and if you actually dig into the history, you'll see that it wasn't real Europeans that were, you know, engaged in any of the genocides and the slavery creation that we're accused of. I mean, just as one little example, the actual origin, or at least as far as I think the Oxford Dictionary is, the word racism was the big Freemason monster, Richard Henry Pratt. He was a general in the, you know, Union Army, and then he wrote that segregating any class or race of people apart from the rest of the people kills the progress of the segregated people, or makes their growth very slow. Association of races and classes is necessary to destroy racism and classism. Notice this, like classism, 1902. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very sophisticated, isn't he? But the problem is, he's also an absolute Masonic monster. So he's for racism and for integration, right? This is kind of a proto-integrationist, right? This is very interesting. This is Pratt's statement in 1902. But, you know, you get a different understanding of the guy. It's kind of like, but if you look at a little deeper into, like, well, you know, some of his other statements, he also wrote that he says, you know, a great general has said that the only good Indian is a dead one. Mm-hmm. In this sense, I agree with the sentiment that all the Indian there is in the race should be dead. Kill the Indian in him and save the man. right?
Yeah.
So you see you have the integration when it serves them, and destroy the race when it stands in the way of Masonic, control over property. So look, they're just lying to us. It's a clever lie. It's sophistry. It's propaganda. It's anthropology. It's directed against us in a clever way. But it's not that hard to come to our senses and realize, it's a group that actually, promotes this concept, and they do it for a reason. We have to resist it. We aren't, bad when we defend our European backgrounds. We're not bad. It is evil that has led us to even feel the need, to do so, really. So it's time, don't you think, Tim, to think more clearly about racism and stop letting it used as a tool for genociding Europeans.
Yeah, and the other thing is the other side is allowed to engage in all types of perverse ideas of identity politics, gay rights, feminism, LGBTQ, whatever. But really, identity, often conservatives, they condemn identity politics, right? They say we're all the same. These principles are all the same inside, and we should be colorblind in these things. And well, really, identity politics, pretty much that's the most basic form of politics, because that's how we identify with each other. So when they say identity is all bad, we're saying, so now you can't identify on any pre-political basis. We're just one big mass, biomass in this mass democracy. Well, no, we organize on community grounds, ethno-religious, and these things, and in order for those bonds or those ties or those relationships to have any real political meaning, you're going to have identity, and then you organize on that identity, and then you become a force to be reckoned with, and you can have your rights defended. That otherwise you're atomized. So yeah. Identity politics is politics. It's just that we've been told that if you're white or your European background, you can engage in it. It's only the other people that they can engage in it.
Do you want to have your own identity, or do you want the state to give you one?
Yeah, and otherwise they'll tell you who you are. You're a consumer.
You're the Delta.
Yeah,
you're the Epsilon. Mm-hmm. You're the a parent with three autistic children,
mm-hmm.
and you're there to promote neurodiversity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, Tim.
Okay.
I gotta go, but I mean, it's just been great talking to you, great hearing your voice, and we'll get them next week, okay, brother?
Enjoy your weekend. Bye bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye bye.